Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. This is going to be a different show for you, a show, a divining show. It's divine. Actually, it's a show that we're going to understand who we are better, a way. These are tools. I have a guest in studio who has a great tool for us to know ourselves better, and I'm excited about it and what he has to say about cards, not tarot cards, playing cards. How do we know ourselves better through playing cards? Well, that'll be interesting. So, Alexander Dunlop, welcome to the Energy Stew.
Peter, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be in the studio with you.
Oh, glad you could be. So, we're talking about just, you know, the 52 pack of cards.
Yes.
And I've known about this science for a long time, maybe 20, 25 years, because I knew somebody out west who was working with them. But very few people catch this, get involved, and you're very unique.
Well, the cards came across my path at the perfect moment in my life. And I've been on a spiritual journey for a long time, since age 17, when I had my first spiritual experience. I was trained as a Roman Catholic priest. I lived in India. I was initiated as a Swami. I've trained with Native American shamanic healers. Done all this spiritual training and healing. And then I was at a loft party in Brooklyn, right as I was getting divorced. And a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in years comes up to me and says, "What's your birthday?" Oh, that means you're the Nine of Hearts, and it means this and this. Probably means you're going through some tragic endings of the heart as well. Right as I was getting divorced.
Right.
So it hit me right at a moment that really caught me, and the power of it was evident, because that first introduction showed me how clear it was just based on the numbers, and I'd never heard of anything like it before. So I stopped what I was doing, and I started studying it, and I got every book I could and found a mentor to teach me. And now it's my professional practice.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity to learn about ourselves in a way that, using something that everybody's familiar with, and yet it's a new take on it.
Well, what I find fascinating is that it's been hidden in plain sight all these years. And yet it's built into our vocabulary. Right? We say things like we're going to play our cards right, or find out what's in the cards for us. Don't get lost in the shuffle. What's the deal anyway? You know, he's got that in spades. All these expressions, he's not playing with a full deck. You know, do it to the nines, going to ace the test. These cards are built into our language, which tells me it must have been used for its real purpose, which is to read our destiny, to read our life path. And the funny thing to me, too, is that being trained as a Roman Catholic priest once upon a time, I'm now practicing witchcraft. I've come full circle all the way around.
Well, you know, that's,
according to their definition.
That's a tricky definition.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely are in the esoteric arts.
I realize that now, yes.
Well, it's welcome to the club. I mean, it's you got into it when you were 17, and I've been in it since that age myself. So it's wild and an interesting path, because there are so many divining tools out there, and you were interested in human design for a while.
Oh, I still am. Yeah. The thing that I really like about these cards is how simple they are. It's just based on the date of birth. I come across many people, not a lot, but people who don't know the exact time and place of their birth, which you would need for human design or astrology. And these cards are based purely on the numbers of your date of birth. So it's a very simple tool. You just ask someone their birth date, and then you know their cards, and you know a lot about them.
You know, it's amazing how magical life is when our birth date, and even with human design, knowing time and place, because it tells us the position of the planets. But just the numbers themselves, I mean, there's numerology, and a lot of people know about that. There was a radio show I did last year on a new book that's out called The Code, and it uses your birth, all the numbers, you know, your date, month, day, month, and the last two digits of the year. And it also, it has a great insight into your personality and what your strengths and weaknesses are.
I agree. I've learned something from every system that I've studied. And I think my fascination with the playing cards is that I always loved playing card games growing up. I've just always loved cards. And for me, it's so intuitive because the images and the symbols on the cards mean something as well. And that once we know what the symbolism of the way the pips are arranged on the card mean, we know meaning just based on that as well.
Symbolism on the card?
So, for example, if you look at a 5 of any of the suits, you see that it's arranged as an X. The 5 clubs or the 5 diamonds or hearts, they're arranged in an X shape. And the 5 is the number of change. So the X is about finding a new path, finding a new direction, or X marks the spot of our journey, of our treasure hunt. So once we know what the symbolism means, it's very intuitive and it's easy. And the other reason I love using these cards as a tool to read people's life is because people are familiar with it. And it's embedded in our DNA, it's embedded in our field. We've been passing these cards down for centuries and playing with them. So to me, there's nothing makes more sense to use than something that's already part of our life. It's just been hidden in plain sight. And what I see myself doing is bringing it out of the darkness. And there's other people doing it too. But showing people the real meaning of these cards. It's to play the game of life. It's not to play poker.
Right. And I've been interested in these, in this aspect of the cards, as I said, for decades now. And I keep coming back to them. And I do have a chart in my office of using that. I can look at anyone's birth date and know what card they are, their birth card is. Mm-hmm. You take it to the next level, which I like that. I only really understood what our birth card is and then use that to understand people and myself. And I haven't been totally... I've been totally satisfied with how true it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know enough about the other aspects that you know about to understand how to use it better in my life.
Right. Well, the cards get very complex very quickly. so not to worry, there's plenty in there.
Yeah.
We have 13 cards in our life path, and then we also have karma cards, and we have past life cards.
So when you do readings for people, it's not just, oh, yeah, you're the 4 of clubs. Here's a paragraph about that. Good luck.
I have a whole 6-month coaching program where people come to me every 2 weeks, so we meet 12 times. And in the course of the 6 months, I lay out all their cards for them.
Wow.
That's how long it takes.
Well, and they even...
And they can choose how they want it. I mean, I don't always take so long to lay it out. It depends how much detail they want to go into. But there's a lot of detail in there.
And it's about integrating it, too. I know when I do human design readings for people, it's so overwhelming.
Yes.
And I just say, it's in human design we say that it takes 7 years to integrate this.
Well, absolutely. And that's why I have the 6-month coaching, to give people a chance to redirect their belief patterns. That's been my experience, that most of us have been brainwashed. We don't know who we really are. And I see these cards as a tool to help people get clear on what they're here to do in this lifetime.
But you can do enough in one session with somebody
to
satisfy them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good, good. Well, I want to talk more about what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
We know there are 4 suits.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm a 4 of clubs, so we could maybe start with, you don't have to start with a 4 of clubs, but just, what are clubs, what are spades, hearts, diamonds?
Well, let's even start one step back from that and say that there's 52 cards in the deck, just like there's 52 weeks in the year. And if you add up all the numbers on the cards, where the aces are worth 1, then you have 2 through 10, and the jacks, queens, and kings are worth 11, 12, and 13. So you have 1 through 13 of all the 4 suits. When you add it up, what do you think you get, Peter?
Oh, 1 plus 2 plus 3?
Plus 4 plus 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13.
I'm not that fast on my...
All 4 suits of those 13 numbers, we add it up, we get 364. The Joker is the 53rd symbol, and he can impersonate anyone at any time. His value is himself plus one each of all the four suits, or 1 1/4. We put him back in the deck, we get 365 1/4. So he's like the anomaly that balances the matrix. He makes it all equal, mathematically precise to our calendar year. It's fascinating. And it's based on pure mathematics. Now, the suits, the clubs symbolize the mind. They even look a little bit like the neocortex. They've got the curly. And the heart is the heart, the emotional field. Diamonds is the physical world, what's hard. Diamonds, the physical vibrations of life, so the physical reality. So you have the mind, the heart, and the body. And spades is all three in one.
Okay.
So that's why we might say he's got that in spades. And the actual symbol of the spade is an acorn. And the symbolism, of course, that the entire tree...
into a tree.
Yeah,
right.
The entire tree contained in the seed.
So would people who are spades feel more fortunate because they encompass more?
The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, Peter. No matter how many readings I do for people, people wish they were a different card.
And generators want to become manifestors.
And I've met many spades who were not happy and not successful because many of them don't know what to do with their power. They have twisted, distorted sense of power. They feel frustrated and stuck. They know they're powerful, but they don't know how to express it. So they're unhappy, miserable people. It really depends.
Okay. Well, I'm only a club. Only a club.
If you say so, Peter.
Well, I like my life, so I'm happy. And the clubs are mental.
Yeah.
So
intelligent.
I know people have said I'm smart, so I'm agreeing. I'd like to agree with them.
Well, the symbol of the four is very powerful. We say things in our language like the four horsemen, the four winds, the four seasons, the four pillars. Four is the number of foundation and structure. So you have a foundational mind. Yours is a mind that holds everything, like an encyclopedic index. You probably have like a mental Rolodex in your mind and a photographic memory.
I wouldn't say that, but I believe that I know a lot of things. You know, I'm a mental. I'm an air sign also in astrology. I'm a Libra, and that's air. Mm-hmm. Air is mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mental.
Well, it's interesting, and I do see that the different systems of knowledge often confirm each other and say the same thing.
Sure.
You're a guardian of what's valuable. The number four, in my opinion, the highest vibration of it is to be a trustee or a guardian.
I call it the guardian of truth.
Yes, exactly. You are a guardian of truth.
I'm fussy about that.
You take all the knowledge and information and data in the world, you sift it through your powerful mind, and you guard what's really true.
To me, anyway.
Well, exactly. But this is why we use the number four, the four pillars of the earth, the four horsemen. It's the number of the stewardship, the foundation. So you're holding a foundation for knowledge in your own mind, but this is what you're here to do, is to be a guardian of truth.
And then there are other clubs. My wife is a two of clubs,
right.
And my son is a six of clubs.
Mm-hmm. Very mental family.
Well, three of us, because my younger son, who is the biggest social person in the world. I mean,
what's his card or his date of birth?
He's a queen of hearts.
Oh, yeah. He's a charmer.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
thousands of people love him.
He can charm anyone.
Yeah.
Well, he's mother of hearts. He probably has, as he grows up, he'll have a strong love for children. He'll want to always help children with a big, wide open heart. You know, now as he's younger, he can use this charm for other reasons.
It's all peer related.
Yeah.
Really,
to
totally.
Get other women.
Totally. I mean, it's amazing the stories I hear about him from so many people that just, they're amazed at how many people love him and care for him. And it's amazing.
Well, it is. And what's also interesting to say is that being a royal card, people will naturally look up to him.
It's true.
Kings and queens and jacks will naturally have an air of respect and regal sense about them, which can work against them because they could have a sense of entitlement. and they could look down on other people. Well, or they could just be someone who's well-respected and charismatic.
He's definitely not aloof and an elitist. He's earned his stripes. Mm. And it's beautiful to see, to watch, because the rest of the family is not like that.
Well, he's a heart-based person. He's a feeling, passion-based person. And you're a knowledge and data-based, family otherwise.
Right. My older son, who's a six of clubs, is just finishing law school.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to work for the Manhattan DA's office.
He's going into a good field for him, because six of clubs people could out-argue anyone.
Well, he definitely is good at that.
Very focused and direct in the way they communicate. They make good counselors or good lawyers. You don't ever want to argue with them. Very powerful minds.
Yeah, so it's so exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife is the two of clubs.
She's the two of clubs. It's the card of the communicator.
Okay, and she certainly
She loves to communicate.
She loves it.
She would nothing more than to sit down and have a one-on-one conversation with you and get to the bottom of things.
With groups, and she loves to be a group leader.
Well, that also may come from her ruling card, which is the seven in spades, and having the spirituality in spades. She has a lot of spiritual knowledge, love, and physical gifts to give, because it's all three in one. So she has a lot to give. So through her knowledge, this two of clubs as her birth card, she's giving it through her spirituality. That's the way we understand that. The birth card is the primary light to shine, or the primary gift. And the ruling card is the way that we give our gift. So the way that she gives all the knowledge she has is through her spirituality.
Uh-huh.
So she shares knowledge of spiritual things, spiritual love, spiritual gifts.
And I'm just supposed to be a radio host.
Well, no, your ruling card is the Jack in Spades, which is the card of the actor or the artist.
Oh, cool.
So you're ruled by this artistic passion, creativity. Many people who are born as Jack in Spades or have a Jack in Spades as a ruling card end up in Hollywood, end up having their own radio show, for example.
That is an art.
Yes, I
think of it that way. When I was younger, I had my own photo studio in the photo district. I was a professional photographer. Mm-hmm. And so I am tuned in to, I call myself an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to hear.
Yeah, it's your ruling tendency. And the Jack in Spades is also the card of the healer.
Oh, good. Thank God.
The symbolism, this is what I was referring to earlier about the symbolism on the card. He's holding a magic wand. If you look, it's like a scepter thing that he's holding in his hand. And it's almost like something that the men in black have, this magic wand where they can shape-shift reality. So you have that power to wave a wand, and almost like you're doing Jedi mind tricks on people. But you can use it. You can use this power for good, or you can use this power for ill. Right? The Jack in Spades is a one-eyed Jack. So you don't ever quite know what he's thinking. Maybe he doesn't even know exactly what he's thinking.
Maybe having the four of clubs under it makes it a better card.
Well, it's neither good nor bad. It's all how we play
it. Okay.
But yes, having the four clubs underneath makes you much more solid and stable. Someone who's a famous Jack of Spades is Rick James. He was born as a Jack of Spades.
Who's Rick James?
Rick James, made famous on the Dave Chappelle show.
Oh, okay.
He's a super freak.
He's a super freak. And Jack and Spades, at their worst, can be super freaks.
Okay.
Total super freaks.
I don't
know about you, Peter, but...
I'm freaky enough as an intuitive, and so I dress very plain. I call myself Plain Brown Rapper.
Well, inside that is the power to heal people. And you do, and I know your work, and this is your passion. And this is the Jack in Spades, and its highest vibration is the power to heal people.
Uh-huh. Now, I know we're going to talk about Barack and Michelle, but we already just, you looked at my cards, you looked at my wife, and you said that we have no chance, right?
Today I said you're peas in a pod.
Today is our 31st anniversary. We do feel like peas in a pod, but you did say that something about...
Well, what's interesting when I looked in your cards is that your life paths don't overlap. But you have very strong spiritual connections. So as if you're connected karmically or connected from a past life. And what it would suggest to me is that you would be very good friends. You would be like peas in a pod, as if you've known each other from lifetimes. But as opposed to when I look at someone's cards and I see that there's an overlap in this lifetime, they may... And I don't know about your personal life, but they may have a lot more passion or arguments or fights or a lot of things to settle in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. When the cards overlap, it means we have things to learn from each other or solutions to find or challenges to overcome. You two don't have that. So it's as if you have already settled things from a past life. And you're here just to be peas in a pod.
We bicker.
Well, you're both clubs, so I'm sure you do.
Right.
You both have a lot to say.
Right, along with my older son, too.
But there's different ways the cards can play out, but it's not uncommon to see that the cards don't overlap in their life path. I'm still a student of the cards in that, to see what that might mean.
Okay.
These cards are ancient archetypes. They're older than the Bible,
yeah,
from what we know.
Well, I love this, and I'm so excited that we're talking about it. So tell us about Barack and Michelle.
Sure. Well, Barack Obama is born as a Nine of Diamonds. And to give you some context, other people born as Nine of Diamonds are Eckhart Tolle, Albert Einstein, and Bono. So these are all people with big visions, big pictures and big hopes for creating a bigger world.
And I guess that being a diamond means materially they can make things happen.
Yes, and they're interested in where the rubber hits the road. They want pragmatic solutions. Not interested in feeling big things or thinking big things. They want results. They want things to happen in the physical world. And it's not uncommon to see Nine of Diamonds people in politics because in their life spread, their Pluto card, which is their challenge card, is the Eight in Hearts, which is the card of the diplomat. So if they're able to solve their challenges, which Barack Obama clearly did in his life, he went through a lot of personal challenges, they come out on the other side with magnetism and charm to charm anyone.
He is.
He's very charming.
Yeah.
And when he gets up to speak, we all listen. He has that charisma.
Yes.
What I found interesting, though, is that Michelle Obama is the Ten of Diamonds. And what that means is that she will be the leader in the relationship because the nine follows the ten. Lower numbers usually follow the higher numbers.
He has said that.
And he has said that, and many people have commented that she controls the food in the White House and all the dining habits.
And she's on his case.
And she's on his case. And what's interesting is that when they met, she was his mentor. He was a summer associate at the law firm where she was already there, even though she's younger than him. She'd gone through law school earlier than he did, and she was assigned to mentor him, and that's how they met.
Oh, that's so interesting. So, the second card?
Yes, okay, so just to say a little more about Michelle Obama, the Ten of Diamonds is the card of the spotlight, and she shines in the spotlight. Ten of Diamonds people have a challenge to step into their spotlight. We see many professional athletes and successful, famous people who are Ten of Diamonds, but then in other ways, like for example in my own life, I see people who are Ten of Diamonds who are utterly afraid of the spotlight. So they never get to shine.
Mm-hmm.
But in her case, she loves the spotlight. The spotlight loves her. And it's almost like when she became First Lady, she really found...
Sure.
She found herself.
Great.
She found her style. I've seen the way she dressed before.
Oh,
she dresses in a whole new way now.
She knows what to
do. So she shines in the spotlight, which is something that Ten of Diamonds people can do. And her ruling card is the Five of Hearts, which is having an open heart.
Oh, she's great.
She wants to give.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of passion.
Yep.
So everything about her is an open heart to share. Barack Obama does not have a ruling card. He is a Leo. Leos don't have ruling cards. That's why we have that expression, he's such a card. Barack Obama is such a card.
Wow.
So he's the Nine of Diamonds squared almost, like a double Nine of Diamonds. And one thing I wanted to say about Nine of Diamonds is that at their best, the Nine of Diamonds will always be looking for a larger solution. Because the nine is about letting go of our own personal desires and looking big. Like, again, think of Eckhart Tolle or Bono or Albert Einstein. And Barack Obama has been criticized for rolling over, not standing up to Republicans. But if we look at the high side of what he's doing, or maybe the way he looks at it as well, he sees himself hoping for a larger solution or a larger synthesis. Rather than being at loggerheads and butting over details, he's looking at the big vision.
He doesn't want to play the same old game.
And that could be too. Now, the lower vibration of the nine of diamonds is to play the victim. And be, woe is me. Why doesn't anyone listen to me? Why doesn't anyone do my big vision that I have in mind? And maybe privately he's like that.
Yeah, in human design he has a trait of futility.
Yes, okay. That was in the nine of diamonds. The low vibration of it is to feel like everything is futile. I've got this big vision for the world, and why won't anyone listen to me?
Yeah, and yet he's president.
He's president. Yeah.
Right.
But he does have that big vision, and he has the charisma and the charm, which we saw, to make us all believe his big vision. But then his big vision hasn't been realized the way he wanted it, so he may have this futility going on in private, and it's in the cards that he would.
Well, we're all hopeful for him.
I am as well, because he does have a big vision.
Yep, yep. So I have a friend who's a jack of diamonds and is always bemoaning her financial plight. She just can't seem to get a handle.
Well, the jack of diamonds is about creating wealth and being playful. The jack is the symbol of playful creativity. She has all the power to create wealth, and she has no reason to tell that story. But she may be. I've met Jack of Diamonds who wanted to be quote-unquote spiritual. And this is what I was saying about we don't know who we are. If we've been brainwashed to think we're supposed to be spiritual, why would she think her role in life is to create wealth?
She's entirely spiritual.
That's the problem.
She's
here to create wealth. She's here to make money. But if she thinks money is evil, then she's going to be stopped.
No, she doesn't. She would love to create money. Mm. She is a clairvoyant. She has gone out of body. I mean, she's brilliant, intuitive.
Send her to me, and I'll get her clear on what she's here to do in life. Because she could still be a clairvoyant, but her path is to create something tangible. Diamonds is tangible, to create something of physical wealth.
Well, she has wealth of her children and her family, and she lives in a very rich life.
Okay.
But finances are a disaster.
Well, she may have some limiting money beliefs. That would be my guess. She's got some programming around what money means. She may have a belief that if she makes money, she can't be spiritual.
And we don't know what her ruling card is.
I don't know her date of birth.
Offhand, I don't have it.
And the ruling card may shed insight on it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's so many different cards we can talk about. We could talk about 52 different cards.
Well, that's the thing that I find most interesting is that all religions, every single one of them, have told us that there's only one way to be in the world. One way only. And, of course, they fought about which was the right one way.
Right. Well, we know that playing cards are the right way.
Well, what we know is that there's an ancient book of life that's older than the Bible. Nobody knows where it's come from, that tells us there are at least 52 different ways to be, and they're all sacred.
So the number 52 is very strong.
It's very strong, and it tells us that there's many ways to be perfectly sacred in this world.
We only have about a minute and a half left, so how can people find you?
Oh, my website is spiritualnutrition.org. Spiritualnutrition.org. My name is Alexander Dunlop. And you could look me up. You'll find me very easily on Google. I write a daily blog about the daily card. Every day there's a new card. So you can get your daily spiritual direction from that. And I'm putting together a book about these cards. I'm going to be launching it on Kickstarter to get support.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
Alexander Dunlop, thank you so much for being on Energy Stew. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. Got a lot of classes going, all kinds of exciting things. And thank you so much for listening.